Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Helen Lewis, Deputy Editor of The New Statesman, and you're joining us for a small, special, miniature podcast about the local elections, which happen on Thursday, May the 2nd. I'm joined by our political editor, Raphael Baer, and the editor of The Staggers, George Eaton, to look ahead to the exciting cornucopia of statistics that will be the local elections. George, first of all, outline how many elections, why should we care?
Well, you've got the county council elections, you've also got the South Shields by-election on the same day, caused by David Miliband's departure to New York. The reason they're interesting, I mean, they're the biggest electoral test for the parties this year, and it's a test for the Tories. How many seats are they going to lose? They are going to lose seats because the last time these elections were fought in 2009 was at the sort of nadir of Gordon Brown's time as Prime Minister, just in the wake of expenses. How many are UKIP going to win? They're undoubtedly going to improve on their performance in 09, which when they sort of barely registered as a national force. It's a test for Labour. Can Miliband show that they can recover in the sort of areas that they need to have a hope of winning a majority in 2015? And the test for the Lib Dems really is, are they facing wipeouts, or are they actually dug in their heartlands, and are they going to hang on?
And Raf, you characterise some of these seats as being kind of shire seats, particularly the most interesting ones being the kind of conservative Liberal Democrat marginals.
Yes, I think just to start off with Labour, precisely for this reason that a lot of them are, as it were, shire seats, and that this is giving Labour sort of spinmeisters a pretext to talk down expectations and say, well, we can't possibly expect to be doing brilliantly in some of these areas. That said, the Labour campaign has actually been trotting around a lot of southern seats, market towns. I think they're discreetly hoping to be able to show they actually can get a bit of a swing away from the Tories in some of those areas. I wouldn't be surprised if they're disappointed, if that is their hope. But certainly the public expectation management on Labour's side is, there's nothing to see here. We'll just scoop up what we can. I do genuinely think it is interesting how many of the seats and how many of the county councils being contested here see a direct Tory-Lib Dem contest, because actually, come a general election, this is a very substantial part of the picture. Two-thirds of Lib Dem seats are Tory-facing, as they put it. Nearest rival is the Conservative. If the Lib Dems can fight, as they sort of defend these bastions, kind of as they did in the Eastleigh by-election, then that really makes it very difficult for the Tories to get a majority in the general election. The problem is that in the Eastleigh by-election, the entire Liberal Democrat Party all gathered in Eastleigh en masse for weeks. They ran up an overdraft, they threw the kitchen sink at it. They can't do that with every single council seat. They can't do that with every parliamentary seat. So actually, if you see the Lib Dem vote melt away, then the Tories could actually do kind of surprisingly well, I think. Well, they're not going to gain seats, but they might not be as routed as they otherwise could be.
And much like Kevin, we need to talk about UKIP. Ken Clark was out on Murnaghan yesterday, dressed like Captain Birdseye, saying that they're repeating again the storyline that they're kind of fruitcakes and they haven't been properly vetted. George, how scared are the Tories of that flank is going to bleed away to UKIP?
They're seriously worried about UKIP, but they recognise that they are an alternative party of the right. And they look at what happened to the left in the 80s when you had the split between Labour and the SDP, and that allowed Thatcher to win those big majorities on only around 40-42% of the votes. And they fear something similar is going to happen when you have a divided right come 2015, and that benefits Labour. I think at the last general election, there were up to 20 seats which UKIP cost the Tories because their vote was larger than the Labour majority.
I think, so when I interject, because I think the problem that the Tories have is that they simply, they don't know what strategy they should employ to close down that UKIP threat. You know, do they say, well, these people are basically Tories, so that if you want Tories to vote Tory, why are you voting for UKIP? That's just a sort of rubbish, pale imitation Tory party with a real thing. Or do they say, these people aren't Tories at all, they're complete maniacs and racists and fruitcakes, and you know, you should be voting for a respectable party of the right. And they certainly can't do both of those things at the same time, because they sort of contradict one another. What actually happens is that what UKIP really need is to be sort of hated by all the right people, in quotes, which is exactly people like us, liberal, lefty-leaning, you know, Westminster-based, sort of...
Bien pensant
media, mainstream media establishment, etc., etc., cosmopolitan, effete liberal people who don't really understand the real world and the rest of it. And if UKIP can present the sort of themselves as being attacked by the establishment and the mainstream, that completely reinforces the message that they're offering as sort of a receptacle for people to kick back at everything they hate about politics. And what you, and if that's true, and I suspect that is true, then pretty much just talking about UKIP when the talk for the Tories boosts the UKIP vote, and particularly if they, when they mention Europe, anything else, it doesn't, the actual content of the message that they're saying to say don't vote UKIP, it's sort of like that the sort of great Gary Larson cartoon where they're sort of, you know, what the owner says to the dog is very sort of complicated. You know, you mustn't drag your mud in here. Go fetch my slippers, Rover. And you know what the dog hears is just sort of blah 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 Rover. All that happens is the message is just something 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 something. There's this party called UKIP. It's quite conservative. Blah 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 blah. And it just boosts their vote. And I think that's a sort of a strategic, massive strategic challenge for the Tories.
I find the UKIP manifesto a thing of absolute wonder. For example, they want to bring back student grants, which, you know, just the amount of money that would cost would be incredible. Scrap tuition fees, bring back student grants. They also want a flat rate of tax on everybody. So it's kind of like this la-la land economics, I guess. But they know, they have the luxury of knowing they're never going to have to be implementing any of these policies.
That's it. And of course, these are local elections as well. And for Farage, really, this is just to gather some momentum for the European elections next year, which I think they came second last time around. And there's a good chance they could win those. And that will put real pressure on David Cameron, not just to commit to an EU referendum, which he's done, but actually to introduce legislation so that it's binding, and even to bring it forward.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And the movement now to persuade Cameron to pass what they call an enabling bill, which would essentially mean a vote in Parliament on having this referendum, although the referendum might be in the next Parliament, to sort of have forced the Commons to vote on the question of a European referendum, to sort of tie, for Tories to sort of tie their own hands on this, is very strong in the Parliamentary Conservative Party. It's not just coming from the right of the party. I've spoken to, as it were, Tory modernisers, Tory wets, people say we need to do this because people simply don't believe, if David Cameron says he wants to have a referendum, they think that's only words. You need to show us more than that. On the European elections in 2014, Conservative I spoke to recently said they we recognise we're going to lose those, by which they mean come behind UKIP, and that even and that local councillors are accepting the what a sort of tactic or a strategy in on the doorstep. Actually, when they come across people for the European elections who say I'm thinking of voting UKIP, they will say, you know what, fine, as long as you come back to us in the general election.
Wow, I didn't realise it was quite that defeatist. Are either of you, to finish, prepared to make a wild sweeping prediction that we can laugh about with you or at you on Friday morning?
I think, yes, Edmund Miliband will be carried through the streets of Buckinghamshire as pursued in a procession.
Burnt in a wicker man afterwards.
No, I haven't. It's a mug's game guessing these things precisely because there are all these wild cards floating around. I'm not going to do it.
Okay, that's very sensible. George, I imagine you can maybe keep your counsel as well after that. Thank you very much, Raph and George.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.